Second verse, same as the first. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, glad to be back with you at the controls here in the studio.
I knew somebody had to be at the controls because I'm usually not.
Maybe someday we'll have to teach you how to use this stuff.
There you go. Well, I think maybe somebody ought to teach some of our elected officials how to follow their own rule books and count votes. Yesterday, we were talking a little bit, and we're going to continue that conversation today, about the Republican National Committee at their convention changing the rules to basically freeze delegates who might be committed to anybody but the candidate the party wants to take the nomination. And Chuck, we've talked about that. We heard the audio from the report about how they kept certain delegates away from the vote by basically, hijacking them on a bus, which doesn't surprise me in the least because those type of shenanigans go on in both parties, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't just the Democrats who are tinkering around with the votes and changing things and acting like they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes the Republicans do the same thing, except the fact that both parties do know what they're doing, don't they?
Oh, they absolutely know what they're doing. As we saw on the inside of even third-party politics, these guys are not above any tactic to get what they want and create party rules, to create party platforms, to make sure that certain parties are disciplined and other parties are not disciplined for certain things. Yeah, they will stop at nothing. This is truly an end justifies the means viewpoint. And that has long been adopted in America's primary part, and it also, unfortunately, it has become a staple in its third parties.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, Chuck, you really wanted to go a little bit further with this and discuss some more in more detail what we were talking about yesterday.
Well, let's talk about the fact. First of all, I want to bring up there's a fellow named Jim Pinkerton.
Yes.
And he's on Fox News channel occasionally. Well, I'm going to play the audio, and you can see for yourself what he says. And then we're going to, shall we say, critique what he has to say.
Okay, very good. Something that happened earlier in the week, which most of the media seemed to ignore.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
That's Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, the chairman of the Democratic Convention, calling for a third vote to amend their platform, this time to include God and reconfirm Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It didn't seem to get much attention in the mainstream media, Jim. Why not?
Well, it could be because the mainstream media didn't want to make the Democrats look bad. I mean, by contrast, if this had been the Republican convention, if the chairman of the Republican convention somewhere had done those voice votes, which, by the way, it's not even clear to me they got a majority, let alone two-thirds. But if it had been Republican convention, the mainstream media would have hauled out acoustical engineers and sound decibel checks and so on. They would have proven which was bigger and so on. Those two people in the white T-shirts would be household names by now. The New York Times would have on the front page. They would have on the Today Show being telling their story about how atrocious the Republicans are. Instead, it was the Democrats and sweetness and light. ABC News didn't even touch the story. NBC News gave it like 10 seconds.
Okay, where's he wrong?
How many places do we want to hit? I mean, come on. This is a whistling past the graveyard moment, Charles, where Pinkerton, who obviously is in the tank, so to speak, has decided that one party does nothing right and the other party does nothing wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That is what's going on here. He's very clearly pro-Republican, which everybody that tunes into Fox News claims that that's kind of an across-the-board thing. Really, I just don't really think that Chris Wallace is particularly pro-Republican, and I can name others. I think Bill O'Reilly's a conservative, like Barack Obama's a conservative. That is not at all. But that being said, the fact is that normally I would agree with him, but the Republicans did do this.
Exactly.
And out decibel meters, and nobody knows who the guys in the white T-shirts are because nobody paid any attention to it. I'm as dumbfounded as he is, to be quite honest. But the fact is that I don't think anybody wanted to mess with this thing because I have an idea that they smelled that something like this might be coming and they didn't want to make too big of a deal out of it. Because let's face it, parties do this. I can remember similar nonsense going on in 2008, in 2004, in 2000. One faction or another trying to change the rules and the party regulars basically stealing the votes. It happens every single time. Now,
yes, it does. And honestly, I've been around some of this stuff in the past. And every cycle, there's always going to be a fight over what they consider to be controversial planks in the platform. It's just a question of which planks become controversial during that cycle. But they still, you go back and forth, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats. Ultimately, very little does change, but the changes that are made for a reason. And that reason is because they think it's going to give them an advantage in the lead up to the election that is imminent.
Well, let's talk about some of the reasons that some of this might be going on. First of all, who are the parties fighting over? Are they fighting over the party regulars?
Well, no. What they're really fighting over are the undecideds and the independent voters, and hoping to come with such a wonderful message coming out of their conventions that it will influence those independents to lean their direction and thus vote for their party.
And that's why the platform is important. As I stated yesterday, the platform is really a propaganda piece. And that's why. Because these guys are not fighting over the 30% who are party regulars, who would vote, frankly, for Attila the Hun if he was running under their party banner, or even Mao Zedong or Che Guevara.
Mm-hmm.
Name some despot, and they would vote for him if he was under the party banner because, after all, he's bound by the platform, and Congress will keep an eye on him. Okay, the party knows this. The party is fighting over that 40% that's sitting on the fence, a huge percentage of those people who will not make the decision of who they're going to vote for until the minute they walk in the booth, which personally drives me insane, are the people that go in and flip a coin and decide who they're going to vote for when they walk in the booth. It's amazing to me that anybody can be that unconscious, that they haven't made a decision. And you'll usually find that the decision is made on some really obscure issue or something that really isn't an issue at all. For instance, I honestly think that Barack Obama got elected because a lot of people wanted to be able to go to friends and acquaintances and say, well, I voted for him. I'm not a racist. I voted for him. This was not a race issue. This was an ideology issue. And the bad part is that there really wasn't all that much ideological difference between John McCain and Barack Obama, which is why Barack Obama won.
There's a lot of truth to that. But in this cycle, you do have quite a bit of difference between the two candidates in one respect, and that is you now have a list of activities and initiatives that Barack Obama has personally launched or written executive orders for or has promises that he's actually broken during his 4 years of campaigning. And that's hard to overcome. And it doesn't matter. Honestly, it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think, who the Republican Party actually puts up in this cycle. That person is going to have a fairly competitive advantage because of the track record of the current office holder.
Well, supposedly the polls are all showing Obama ahead 47-44, but well, some of that is...
That's the post-convention bounce. As a matter of fact, if you go back in history and look at it, Jimmy Carter was up over Ronald Reagan in 1980 after the Democrat convention, and Mike Dukakis was up like in double digits over George Bush in 1988 after the Democratic convention.
17 points.
Yeah, exactly. So what we have is that post-convention. Now, the big problem is 47-44 is a 3% swing, only about 3%, because previously Obama was losing about 46-44 to Romney. So he's only gained about a net total of 3 points, maybe five if you count Romney's drop, for the post-Democratic convention fix there. And that's not much of a bounce coming out of a convention, but then again, it's not much of a candidate coming out of the convention.
Well, and that's the problem. We've got basically two candidates that nobody's really excited about. Now, Drudge is running a retrospective that basically says that Reagan off to a slow start. This is from 1980. Reagan off to a slow start. No one particularly excited about either candidate. Well, my first presidential election was 1976, and I remember the floor fight at the Republican National Convention in 76. I did not vote for Ronald Reagan in that, but I did pull for him. I'll be quite honest. First of all, I always root for the underdog, so and something uniquely American, I think. But second of all, at least Reagan made nice noises about being a conservative. Gerald Ford wasn't even anything like a conservative and never had been. He was a moderate at best his entire career, probably more liberal than anything, and had been completely incompetent during his presidency. And it was amazing to me that the Republican insiders had decided he was the guy who was going to save the Republicans from the wreckage of the Nixon administration. Barry, this just wasn't going to happen. So watching Reagan build from there, it was pretty obvious to me in 1980. We heard all along how close the election was, and even right up till like 2 days before the election, that Reagan and Carter were neck and neck. Well, what was the final victory margin? I mean, it wasn't even close.
No, it was basically all but a landslide on the, for Reagan.
It was something like 63-37 or something. I mean, it was big. It wasn't quite as big as Dukakis got beat or Mondale got beat in 84, but it was pretty big. And, you know, again, we're into this situation where the parties are playing games and people are lying to pollsters. There's a book out there called The Day America Told the Truth. What it talks about it is that people lie to pollsters constantly. And it's mostly because they don't want to appear to be a nasty person to the pollster. They take the line that makes them look like the nicest person and they lie to pollsters all the time. This is a problem with polling. You have to design your poll to try to work that bias out. And of course, a lot of polling nowadays is push polling. I've been push polled at least twice in this election cycle already. I don't know if down there in Gallupolis you're getting a lot of that kind of polling, but believe me, up here in Franklin County, Ohio, or in right in Columbus's neighborhood, we get a lot of it. My daughters are constantly being called. My middle daughter just voted in her first presidential primary, and oh my gosh, the phone rang off the hook, both parties.
Well, that's a new vote, and everybody wants it. And that's what we're going to find out. Now, thankfully, when you switch to cell phones, you don't have that problem.
Well, yeah, we're thinking seriously about getting rid of the landline. Partly for that reason.
I've got rid of the landline. I don't have a television set that picks up any kind of a signal other than playing a video on it. And if I could, I would nail my mailbox shut from now until November.
Oh, you know it. Well, even after November, no matter which party wins, somebody's mailbox is going to be full of stuff that says, help us defeat blank.
Blank, as soon as it's over with. That's right.
I mean, they'll wait about 7 to 10 days. And then the mailers will start going out. We've got to stop Congress, or we've got to get Congress too. And it's all going to be fundraising. Barry, what's happening now is the whole process is becoming grossly perverse. And it can't be sustained. At least I don't think so.
Well, not in its current form. No, of course it can't be sustained. But that is part of the problem, Charles. Because, you know, the question you asked earlier is, when they develop this party platform, who are they reaching at? Who are they trying to lock in? Are they trying to lock in the party faithful? Are they trying to lock in the ones that they think they've got already? The answer is no, but when you are crafting a platform, you have to be careful that you don't craft it in such a way that you drive away some of your base because of your actions. Now, you know, the Democrats may have a problem on their hands because there are militant atheists in that party who might, at the very end of the day, although I find this less plausible than not, who might walk away from Barack Obama and the party because they feel that they are being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that coin, there are those on the Republican side who, with this rules change, such as those people who support Ron Paul, who may feel that this was rigged in order to keep them from having any voice whatsoever, and if I don't have a voice, why should I bother supporting this party?
Yeah.
These things can backfire on parties, and they can backfire hard. The question that remains is, how hard is it going to backfire, and which party is going to get the brunt of that explosion?
Well, in some cases, it's sort of like playing Risk, if you've ever played the board game Risk. Can I give up this little piece over here to get more over here? Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. It all depends on how the dice roll. We are out of time.
I figured we might be.
All I can say is join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.